God, we do thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your faithfulness in giving your truth to us in your scriptures. Pray, Lord, that you might just speak to us this morning. Lord, help us to have ears to hear and to apply your truth to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is everybody warm enough today? All right, did anybody break out the long underwear? Anybody here do that? Someone in the back, yes. All the way in the back. Awesome. All right. Hey, I'm glad you guys came. If you do need to go to Children's Church, you can slowly make your way there. And if you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And we're going to look at some of verses 9 through 13 this morning. This morning's going to be a little different. We just finished up in the book of Daniel. So did you guys enjoy that? Was that fun?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a little segue here today, and then we're going to get into actually Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. And then get this, as we go further on in the year, I'm actually going to take you guys through Leviticus chapter 23, all right, in the future. How many of y'all have spent a lot of time in Leviticus for devotions? I don't see any hands, all right? That'll be exciting. It'll be a fun time. It really would. You actually were going to see Christ very vividly in the book of Leviticus. So, and I promise you that will be fun and exciting. There might even be an appearance of a goat. Okay. That's just a little hint. Okay. Hey, I always get things, in the mail, but I love it when I get into things in the mail when it's a book. All right. If you ever walked in my office, you'll know why. But I got this book. It was called The Great Commandment Principle. And in chapter one, there was a story that I want to read to you. I think it has paints a picture for us a little bit of where we're going this morning. It's by a man named David Ferguson, and he writes of an experience he had. He says it was a balmy November evening in Titusville, Florida. And the Friday night service was nearing conclusion. I was speaking to about 1,000 pastors and lay leaders gathered for one of our regional ministry training conferences. It says, my text was Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. During our time of worship, we experienced the first part of that verse and rejoicing together in God's goodness and grace. And then I emphasized the testimony of love that results when we share our hurts and discouragements with one another. And receive God's comfort from one another as the Bible instructs. At the close of my message, I encourage everyone to turn to someone nearby, spouse, family member, or friend, and share a memory of personal pain. It could be as small or great pain as they care to disclose, something recent or from the past. As each individual spoke, his or her partner was to listen and express godly comfort. As people shared their hurts and comforted one another, many exchanged spontaneous, tender embraces, and a few tears began to flow. I slipped away from the platform and circled behind the crowd near the main doors, rejoicing as I contemplated the Father's joy. His children were moving beyond hearing His word to actually experiencing it. While I stood there watching the door, or as I stood there watching, the door behind me opened, and a man walked in. He was about 30 years old, nice looking and casually dressed. And I found out later that that Ray was not a believer. He lived in a neighborhood and was out for an evening walk. Curious about why the church parking lot was full on a Friday night, he had stepped inside to take a look. He walked over near me and surveyed the sea of people. Obviously perplexed at the sight, he asked, "What are they doing?" "They're comforting one another," I explained, no doubt a puzzled look on his face. Ray continued to watch the people share their hurts and tenderly embrace married couples, single, adults, and entire families. Tears formed in his eyes, and there was a longing in his voice. "That's what I need." Sensing a divine appointment, Ferguson said, "Are there stressful or painful things going on in your life right now?" Ray nodded. He explained that his job at the nearby Kennedy Space Center was in jeopardy due to cutbacks. Furthermore, he had just gone through the pain of placing his mother in a nursing home. At about the same time, his fiancée had broken up with him. This young man was in a world of hurt. Others gathered around Ray and shared God's love with him by comforting him. The unexpected outpouring of love from total strangers lifted a great burden from Ray. And before the evening was over, he committed his life to Jesus Christ. And today he's involved in the church and the singles ministry. Through new friends in the church, Ray found a better job. And the church's ministry shut-ins is sharing the love of Christ with Ray's mother in the nursing home. The love and comfort Ray found that warm November evening continue to bless him. Ray is no longer alone. Then he asked, isn't this what everyone prays for? I love that description. If you're worried I'm going to do that to you today, I'm not, okay? Just going to put some of you at ease because I know some of you, as you read this, that makes you feel very uncomfortable. But even in your uncomfortability, I believe there's a longing, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, there's a longing that you experience that kind of community. That deep down within us, even in the midst of our insecurities of being known for who we really are, what we really struggle with, there's really deep within you a longing to experience the kind of community that is described here, a kind of community where you can not only share your joys, but you can share your mourning, your pain, your suffering. I know it exists because I know that's exactly how God has created you and I. Now, we like to do all kinds of things to push against that creation. We like to put all kinds of fences up around our lives. We like to put on all kinds of masks in our lives to say, I don't really need that kind of community. But the reality is, you do. You do. This year, and what we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about our vision for the year. One of my jobs as a leader and one of the elders' jobs as leaders is we need to stop and say, all right, what is our mission, all right? And so we have what is called a ministry matrix. And within that matrix is, first of all, our mission. That is, the mission of Midlothian Bible Church is to glorify God and make disciples by bringing people together through the gospel and building up mature followers of Christ. We want to get people connected with Christ, and then we want to help them mature in Christ. A key value that is at the heart of accomplishing this mission, as you see, values are something that we want to mark everything that we do as a church. And one of those values that we more or less aspire to is that of authentic community, that is real, genuine, the real deal kind of community, the kind of community that is expressed there in this book. Matter of fact, not only is that one of our values, but it's also a part of the strategic steps that we have laid out as a church. And those steps include, we want to help people believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we don't want them just to stay there with that knowledge. But belief in the gospel means that the next step is that you become part of the body of Christ, and we want you to belong into the community of Christ. And we use that word belong because we wanted people to have the sense of, this is my home. This is my family. I share Christ with these people. I've actually experienced that community going halfway around the world. I've told you before when I've been to the Philippines, we were so different. We had everything different, and we looked different, sounded different, all those kind of things. But one of the things that united us when we started to worship, what we had in common was the gospel of Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. And there was a sense of belonging that came. Matter of fact, one of the ways that we measure whether or not we are maturing in Christ and accomplishing our mission is our measurements. That is, we have a grid through which we want to look and say, how do we know when someone is maturing in Christ? And we identify it this way, that if you're maturing in Christ, there should be a love for God that's showing up, that you're growing in that love. You should be following God's word. You should be engaging our world with the gospel. But there should also be investing in others, that at some place You're investing and someone's investing in you and you're relating around the person of Jesus Christ. That should be happening. This is what we call our ministry matrix. And one of the things that we want to do every year is that we want to come and ask, and what we want to do as leadership in the church is we want to come and ask and say, God, well, this is what you've called us to. This is our mission. These are our values. These are our strategic steps. Here's how we're looking at if we're personally growing in the Lord. And then we need to ask, God, what are you calling us to emphasize this year? What is that area, God, that you're saying, I want you to grow in this? And it may not even necessarily be a weakness. He's just saying, I want you to continue to grow in this. I want you to strengthen this. And this year, we believe that area is in the area of genuine gospel community. Now, before we do that, we need to celebrate a little bit. Last year, we had a vision. The vision for last year was to deepen our partnership in the gospel financially, relationally, missionally, and prayerfully. And I learned something. We had several goals, and I learned something very important as we went through this. We had way too many goals last year. I'm going to submit, man, I'm still a growing leader, and I get real excited, so I want to have all kinds of goals, but I realized that it's too many, okay? And we need to be real laser-focused. So this year, we're going to be more laser-focused in that. But I want us to back up to that vision again. Last year was deepening. I want to kind of just give a report on some of that. I can't give a report on all of that. But under the goal of financially, one of our goals was this, that we wanted 70% of the people to go through some kind of financial, biblical financial education, whether it was financial peace or whether it was one of our other small group studies that we had. And we did meet that goal all the way from our high school on up and all across the ages. Different people were involved in that. Matter of fact, if you were involved in a study here this morning, just raise your hand. If you're involved in one of those studies, yes, thank you. Go ahead and raise your hand there. Cool. We also had a goal in this area of finances where we had a debt of about $1.2 million or so. And our goal was to try to pay that off in 1 year. Now, that 1.2 included the amount that we already had budgeted to pay. Well, we didn't quite meet that goal, okay? But as some of you know, God blessed us greatly. As a matter of fact, right now where the debt sits is it sits under a little under $300,000 that is left, okay? And what you've got to understand when I say that, with that comes a great amount of money that is saved in interest. Okay, that's something else you've got to understand, that a lot of money is saved. And so we have a little under $300,000. That's not counting interest. And so we want to stay on that goal. All right, we're not quitting that. Matter of fact, we would love to see us be done with that by the time summer comes around. So we want you to continue to pray. As you've seen, we don't go around twisting arms or manipulating into giving. We just want you to pray and ask God, hey, God, this year, what are you calling me to do? How can I give above and beyond my regular offering to help eradicate that debt? Because the sooner we can pay off, that means the more that we save. And that takes away a huge weight. I'll just tell you, it sits on me, okay? When you realize you have $235,000 a year that's budgeted just to pay off a building, ugh. And we want to take that away and we want to point it towards ministry. And so that's let's keep praying about that. We had a goal in the area of missions. As far as missionally, relationally, we're encouraging more people to participate in small groups. We're still not quite there to the 75% we are looking for. Missionally, we're encouraging you to learn how to share the gospel. And three times this past year, a way was given to show you how to share the gospel. We also wanted we were praying, we were being prayerful, and one of our prayers was this. And many of you who prayed at 119, how many people in here prayed at 119 at some point during the year? Okay, great. Somebody got to raise those hands higher, man. Just get them up there. Get excited, all right? And what we were praying for is we were praying that 20 people would come to Christ, all right, be baptized and discipled, okay? We didn't meet the 20, but we were around about five or six that came to Christ. Matter of fact, one of those is going to be baptized next week. And so we want to give God thanks for those people. Now, that doesn't include the people on the mission field. Over in Albania alone, I saw at least five or six people that came to Christ there. And it's not to say for Colombia as well. One of those people who came to Christ here was actually a foreign exchange student. That she came and she witnessed and she saw what was happening here. And she went back, and as she was experiencing Ramadan in her home country, she noticed something different. And what she noticed was different. Well, she didn't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. She came and put her faith in Christ. But it started here. And the witness that she saw from her host, but the witness of the people that she saw here as well. So we give thanks for those who came to know Christ. And we want to encourage you to continue to pray for people to come to Christ. So as I said, what I learned from this is that you can't have too many goals. It's hard to keep you all focused if I have too many, let alone myself. So this year, all right, here's our vision for 2019. We want everyone here that calls MBC home, we want you to believe and belong in genuine gospel community. But here's how. By continuing, deepening, or taking the next step in this community. What we recognize is that this is already happening. There are already people that are experiencing genuine gospel community. And what we want you to do is continue to do that. Some of you want you to call you to go just a little bit deeper in that. Maybe share some of your hurts, some of your joys. And some of you, we just want you to take your first step or a next step further. And at the end of my message, I want to show you some ways of how we suggest that you might do that. And then the way that we're going to measure it, all right, because you got to have a measurement, is we're going to simply, throughout the year, we're going to send out messages to you and call for you to share with us testimonies of how you're either continuing, how you're deepening, or you're taking a next step in that. Because what I want you to see is genuine gospel community is vital. As we saw with the story of Ray, it was the difference that God used to lead that man to Christ. Genuine gospel community is vital because it puts on display the glory in the heart of our God. Now, the basis I have for this, so I want you to look at Romans chapter 12 with me. Romans chapter 12. And listen to me as I read from Romans 12, verse 4, and then skip down to verse 9. Romans 4 says this, and this is the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's writing to the church at Rome. He says, "For as in one body we have many members," and he's talking to those who are believers in Christ, those who have put their faith and trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ," and get this, "and individually members one of another." That's if you looked around this room and you looked at the various believers, you are individually members of the same spiritual body in Christ. You have responsibility towards each other. Then look at verse 9, how verse 9 begins to describe what this community, these individual parts that are in one body, what it should mark this church. It says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. What you find in there is you find 13 exhortations to the church. 13 commands that I believe that ought to mark the church. That is, when someone comes in and they look into the body of Christ, they look at this body of Christ who are individually, they have their own giftedness, but they're members of one another. What should they see? What I believe we have here is a description of genuine gospel community. Now, I'm not going to go through all 13, but I want to point out three of them this morning. I want three that really help highlight what it looks like to be members one of another. To be members of one another, it tells us that we are not called to be alone in this endeavor to follow Christ. That God has created us for community, and He has saved us in Christ, brought us and made us new creatures in Christ, made us children of God, and He has placed us into a family with other believers. A family where we're not to ignore each other, but we're actually to operate together, where we're loving one another genuinely, where we're devoted to brotherly affection. It should be a place where there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You know what a Lone Ranger Christian is, right? A Lone Ranger Christian is that person that we see them come into the service and they go out of the service and we wonder, who was that masked man or that masked woman? And some of you are really good at that. Some of you are real good. Some of you are skilled when the last song hits, okay, and everybody stands up, you kind of slip on out. And I totally relate to that because my dad used to do the same thing. My dad would get there early, but he was ready to get to lunch, okay? And he would be out in the Cadillac and have it already started, all right? Wondering when we're going to get out. Now, I just pick on some of y'all. That doesn't mean just because you do that, you don't have community. But we're called to be members of one another. We're called to be connected. And this community, this call to connection, is built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you go through the book of Romans, particularly Romans chapter 1 through 5, matter of fact, Romans 1 through 8, all the other occurrences of love except one speaks of the love of God for us. It speaks of a love demonstrated for us on the cross of Christ. God demonstrated His love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. It speaks of a love that was poured out to us, into us, through the presence of the Holy Spirit who comes into us the moment that we believe. It speaks of a love that is so intense from God that nothing, absolute nothing, can separate us from that love. It speaks of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in Romans chapters 1 through chapter 3, verse 21, what we see and what we hear over and over is the message that there is not a one of us that is not a sinner. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And then starting in Romans 3, verse 21 there, all the way to the end of Romans 5, you know what God does? He lays out and He exposits for us the gospel, which is very simple, but He does it in very, He exposits and lays it all out there for us. Remind us that we can't earn righteousness on our own, but God loved us so much that His Son came, died in our place, rose again, and He provided His righteousness that if we simply put our faith and trust in Him, Christ's righteousness will be placed upon our account and we'll be declared righteous in front of God the Father. Thereby we're accepted and can have eternal life with Him. That's good news, isn't it? That's the gospel. That's the major part of the first book of the Romans. But the result of that, what we need to realize is if we have truly come to receive that gospel of Jesus Christ, the result of that is that is a call for us to be involved in community that displays the gospel as well. Matter of fact, I believe a genuine love for God as a result of the gospel should evidence itself in genuine gospel community marked by a love for one another. That's what appealed to Ray. When Ray stumbled into that church and when he looked around and he saw that there was actually people not only rejoicing with each other, but that were willing to comfort one another in the midst of their hurts and their pains, he's like, I need that good news. I want to be a part of that. The premise is this: if we truly believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then that should compel us to want to belong in genuine gospel community. Now, let me give you three ingredients to that, and there's more, but I just want to share three ingredients with you. Look back at your text in Romans 12, verse 9. The first one is this: let love be genuine. Let it be sincere. Let it be the real deal, is what we might say. Actually, more literally, what that word is behind the word genuine is it's the Greek word that speaks of being unhypocritical. Ooh, yikes. It says, literally, let love be without hypocrisy. That word hypocrisy comes from a Greek word meaning a mask. And one of the ways that it came is that because back in the days in ancient Greece, when they held Greek dramas, actors would wear masks to show their emotions or display their emotions upon which they are trying to act out. An actor might actually have been feeling something entirely different from the emotion depicted by the mask. The mask might have been sad, but he was really happy. Or the mask might have been happy, but he was really sad. And in essence, this mask wasn't necessarily a true reflection of the person wearing it. And so hence came the idea that you're hypocritical. You're wearing this mask. What's on the outside doesn't really reflect what's on the inside. What are ways that we wear masks as believers? Let me just give a couple actually. One way we wear masks is when what we say and do on the outside does not match our inside. Let me flesh this out. Stephen Yule writes, oftentimes what we do doesn't reflect what we feel, and so we may give people the impression that we love them. Kind words, warm hugs, beautiful smiles, and firm handshakes, while in actual fact, we feel quite different inside. Paul is saying, don't love like that. Don't be a hypocrite. Other ways you do that? You know what's the tough thing about preaching messages, okay? Kim, here's the hard thing about preaching messages is I have to preach them to myself first. That is the hard thing, all right? Because I can come up here and I can wear a mask, okay? Or I could take the mask off and be real with you and know that I've got to preach the message to myself first. So I was pondering this, and as I was thinking upon this, God, how are you speaking to me and speaking into my life? Well, let me just tell you, as a pastor, okay, people come and go in the church all the time, okay? And you need to kind of develop, you got to have some thick skin, okay? You got to develop that. And, well, so imagine you're a pastor that has to come 4 years ago, and one of the things you've got to do is you've got to affect change. You know how much people love change? But you're the guy that's got to help lead the way in that, okay? And so as a result of that, people do not always like change, so they leave. Or some people like, you haven't affected change fast enough, and so they leave. And then people leave for all other various reasons, okay? And sometimes they're even good reasons, okay? The Lord's leading them. I've actually had people come and tell me and say, yes, this is what the Lord. I'm like, yes, go do that. But sometimes that's hard because in and of myself, and because of my own insecurity at times, and because of my own unhealthy need to be approved of at times, I could take it personal when people leave. And sometimes I handle it fine, but sometimes I don't. Matter of fact, recently, I found myself, when I saw these people, I found myself just wanting to completely ignore them. Yeah. Serious, Kay, I did. You know how you can walk in and you see that person over there, you're like, I'm not looking over there, I'm going right here. Just do that. Now, if I had to encounter them face to face, Kay, all right, I would shake their hands, I would be nice to them, I would smile at them, how you doing, you idiots, you know. Because inside, I was like, I don't want to talk to you. And I didn't even know why they left half the time. I had no clue. But I can be an insecure individual. Human, thank you. But as I meditate on these verses, what I heard the Lord saying was, don't love like that, Matt. Don't be a hypocrite. Matt, you believe my gospel. And these are gospel-believing people. Love them. Love them. Don't wear the mask. There's another way we put masks on. We wear masks to hide our flaws. And we said, well, you said let love be genuine. How's that? We wear these masks to make ourselves look good and seem like we always have it together. I love what Dr. Barnhouse, who was a great Bible teacher back in the day, and he used to say, true love leaves the stage and walks the path of real life. True love leaves the stage, the Greek stage of wearing the mask, walks off the stage, puts all the masks away, and lives real life. Which means sometimes we rejoice, sometimes we mourn. I love what Swindoll writes in his book, Dropping Your Guard. I'm just going to read it to him because he puts it so much better than I could. But listen what he says. He says this in the introduction of his book. He says, okay, everybody, masks off. He says, there are times I want to stand up and make that announcement. I've never done it, you understand, but I sure have been tempted. Can you imagine the reaction? It would be a scary thing for most folks, especially those who have learned that survival comes a lot easier behind a mask. There's a mask for whatever the occasion. Have you noticed? No matter how you really feel, regardless of the truth, if you become skilled at hiding behind your guard, you don't have to hassle all the things that come with full disclosure. You feel safe. What you lack in honesty, you make up in pseudo-security. If you wear an I am tough mask, you don't have to worry about admitting how weak and frightened you actually are. If you keep your I am holy mask in place, you never need to bother with people wondering if you struggle with spirituality. Furthermore, the I am cool because I got it all together mask comes in handy if you resist stuff like hard questions, vulnerable admissions, and straight talk. Another familiar front is the I'm able to handle all this pain and pressure mask. No tears, not even a frown or hint of bewilderment is revealed. That one helps you when you're surrounded by super pious folks who are impressed with answers like, oh, I'm fine, and I'm just claiming the victory. Accompanied by eyelids at half-mast and a nice, appropriate smile. There are even the intellectually and scholarly masks that protect you from having to face the practical nitty-gritty. There is just one major difficulty in this mask-wearing game, writes Swindoll. It isn't real. It therefore forces us to skate rather than relate. It promotes a phony baloney, make-a-good-impression attitude instead of honest realism that relieves and frees. What's worse, as we hide the truth behind the veneer polished to a high gloss, we become lonely instead of understood and loved for who we are. And the most tragic part of all this, of all, is that the longer we do it, the better we get at it. And the more alone we remain in our hidden world of fear, pain, anger, insecurity, and grief, all those normal and natural emotions we hesitate to admit, but that prove we are only human. God doesn't want you to walk there. He wants you to let love be genuine. He wants you to have the freedom to not have to fight and agonize over picking out which mask you're going to put on today. He wants you to have the freedom to be real with where you're at, because you're secure with where you're at with Him. Let love be genuine. Now, I want to do something different. I want to have a couple come and share with me their journey in this. So if Doug and Aaron, if you would come and share with us, that would be great. Who would like to go first?
Ladies first.
Ladies first. I figured you were going to say that.
So a mask I'd like to put on is run and hide out the back. My hands are sweating, I'll be honest. So hang on. So I'll just first confess, I don't know where I'd be without community. The biggest lesson I've learned is that isolation is Satan's breeding ground, and that isolation can look like that I'm fine, I'm doing great, even though I'm in a room full of people. And it gets magnified. I came before you. Hang on, let me open it. I didn't print it. I've got it really big here. I came before you 6 months ago, and I shared that my life wasn't great. I was consumed by fear. I was consumed by performance. I was consumed by wanting to feel worthy in all that performance and acceptance in many ways. And so I needed to address those fears. I was breaking. I had an anxiety attack about 8 months ago. All day, I just couldn't breathe. There was literally an elephant on my chest. I'd never experienced that before. That was the beginning of God breaking me. I constantly felt like I didn't belong, like an outsider and unworthy. And even though I have great friends and family, I still felt alone in a room. And just like Matt said, I needed community, a deeper community. I've had great community, but I was ready for that next step. And mine was regen. And so I can stand before you saying that things are changing for me, and I'm very thankful for my regeneration community, because I began to take off the mini mask. It has offered a safe place that pushes me with my relationship with Christ and to examine why I put the mask on in the first place and why I first got that mask, and to leave it off and to throw it away. And I have confessed my deepest pains and sins, those ones that you would never want to tell anybody, those things that, yeah, I've confessed them before God, but I would never tell a soul. I've shared them with people. And, you know, I have seen God's grace and love return to me, and those that have listened to me, and they have loved me back with no judgment. That can really happen. If you've not experienced it, you need to. I don't really think I have words to express fully what it has done for my soul and my relationship with God. All I can say is it's freeing. It's just like the many songs we sing about, like the one I had no idea would be sung today, Chainbreaker. Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead, down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting there. You've built a mighty fortress 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to lift you up, here to lift you high. The love of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ want to come along beside you. He's a chain breaker, and he's been breaking my chains through community.
I should have gone first. I've been told I use humor to diffuse situations, so I'll try not to do that. I think if we're all honest, we can relate to this idea of hiding behind masks. It's almost become cliche. There's probably YouTube parodies about it, but the reality is it's so true. It couldn't be any more true. And as Matt was talking about some of those masks, for me, it was the I'm cool, I've got it all together mask, right? It's easier to hide behind this facade than to get real with people. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget what to say. So for me, it was easier than to get real, or it was easier to hide behind that mask than talk about why I can't seem to let go of certain sins, or how to deal with baggage that I brought into marriage, or baggage that even accumulated even after marriage. And it's easier just to hide behind that mask and just say, no, I'm good. You know, we're healthy. We've got jobs. We've got it all together. But for me, this facade, at first kind of sprung a leak. It first began to break maybe 6 or 7 years ago, partly due to the fact that God began to expose sins in my life, and he brought me to a point of repentance and confession, and partly because we began to experience for the first time true biblical community. We began to build relationships with people that were interested in who we were as people and not just you know, kind of the mundane things of life. So fast forward to here and now, I began Regen as well with Aaron. We're not in the same group because it's ladies and gentlemen, so they do separate you. But I began doing Regen as well, and 6 months ago I would have told you I was doing it for Aaron, like I was doing her a favor or something. No more humor. But, you know, the reality was is that God was not done with me. And I think the reality is that he's not really done with any of us. You know, sanctification doesn't stop the day that we accept Christ. Like, that's the day that it begins. And for me, one of Satan's biggest attacks on me is this lie. I hate getting emotional. It's much harder to talk up here, Kim, than it looks like. But for me, this lie from Satan was, if they knew you, like if they really knew you, they would never love you. And boy, that's how, I'm sure that nobody can relate to that, but that's really how Satan kind of dug into me and kept me from taking that mask off. Maybe it's a sin or a tainted past, maybe before you came to know Christ, or if you're like me, maybe it's after you accepted Christ or called yourself a Christian. Just that one thing that you said you would never tell a soul, but that's where Satan wants us to stay, right? So that's his lie. And how do we defeat lies? We defeat lies with truth. And the truth is, the First John chapter 1, it tells us, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice truth. That is wearing a mask when we lie in that darkness. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's community. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That's a promise. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's kind of what Regen is about. It's not about just getting your skeletons out of the closet. Man, I lost my spot. It's understanding that you've got these resentments, these hurts, these fears, these things in your past that affect who you've become today. And if you're like me, those weren't really good things or things to be proud of. Regen's about understanding and getting to experience. Well, it's first of all about understanding that God and God alone is the one who can change us. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it by some, get help book. But God is going to put us on a new path. And it's about understanding and getting to experience the power of true biblical confession and forgiveness. It's about a community of others who want to walk the same journey with you, understanding that God uses broken people to minister to broken people. For me, authentic community is being surrounded by a group of people who know me, who really, really know me, and still love me.
So where does that kind of community take place? It's a gospel, genuine gospel community. The text here further describes this as a community that is where people are devoted to loving one another with brotherly affection. I love those words. When you look behind the Greek of it, what you sense is that these words that make it possible for Aaron and Doug to experience this is a community like Regeneration, but it can be other places. It could be in a Sunday morning class. It could be in one of our various studies or our life groups or those things. Those are all environments that are being made available to help to build this place of loving one another with brotherly affection. And these words, though, when I study these words, what I found is that they're also very emotionally laden words. To love one another with brotherly affection, it speaks of family, but it also speaks of emotion. And you're saying, well, Matt, I thought we don't have to like everyone, we can just love them. I mean, I like that excuse. I've actually used that one a lot, but then I study this passage, and this passage, when I realize this brotherly affection isn't just speaking of something just something I act on and do on the outside because I have to, because I'm a Christian, and I'm not saying we don't start there, all right? Sometimes we just act on faith and we do it because the Lord calls us to do it. But what I saw in these words is that we can actually be a place and we can actually love one another with brotherly affection. That is, it actually can be an emotional thing. So one of my goals in my premises in us growing in this genuine gospel community, the reason why I'm going back to Romans 6, 7, and 8 over the next couple months is because I am convinced, because see what Romans 6, 7, and 8 is about, is it starts off, we've been justified in Christ, we're declared righteous, but in verse chapter 6, it says, well, how do I begin to live this out? And it talks about this process called sanctification that is being set apart more and more to Christ-likeness. And I believe when we allow God to work in our hearts and transform us and change us and deal with the stuff in our lives, and he moves us more and more into Christ-likeness, I believe there's people where, like, you know what, I don't like them, but I love them. I think actually God can move and change in our hearts and our lives, that we move from just kind of loving them on the outside to saying, you know what, I have affection for them, even though they annoy me. I annoy people too. I need the gospel just like they need the gospel. God, let me have affection for them. So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to study, and we're going to seek to grow in more and more Christ-likeness. We're also going to pray for such affection. So one of our prayers is going to be this. It's going to, and I skipped ahead, but in Romans 12:12, it says this: be constant in prayer. So we're going to pray together again this year. But this year we're going to do it at 12:12 p.m. All right? Aren't you glad you didn't make it a.m.? All right? But at 12:12 p.m., and this should be in your bulletin, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to grow NBC in genuine love for one another and the pursuit of the love of strangers, so that God is glorified as unbelievers accept Christ as Savior and believers grow in Christ-likeness. We want to do that. We want to pray for that. Because I know right now that some of you are sitting in your seats and you're going, I'm not taking another step. You know what? I'm not here to manipulate you or do anything like that to you or force you to take some step. Not at all. I'm going to pray that God does it in me and he does it in you, so that we might better reflect the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's one last ingredient that I think is imperative. It's in at the end of verse 13. It says this: to seek to show hospitality. I like this passage because the word seek there is really better captured in pursuing or chasing after or striving after. So we should be chasing after, pursuing to show hospitality. But then I love what the Greek says behind the word hospitality. The word hospitality literally in the Greek language means this. It means the love of strangers. So put that together. You and I, to create this environment where we're loving, we're committed to loving one another with brotherly affection, where we are living out genuine, unhypocritical love, is also be marked by this pursuit of the love of strangers. Like Ray was. What if David Ferguson didn't stop and talk to him? What about some of you who are now a part of this church? If someone had not pursued you, someone like a Buddy Zip had not pursued you, or and like others have pursued you in hospitality, you probably wouldn't be sitting here today. Some of you wouldn't have experienced some of the things you've experienced in regeneration. We want to be a place that is marked by the pursuit of the love of strangers. Not just so people will end up coming here, but because it points to something much, much, much deeper. Listen to this. Listen to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 says this. This is Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, and that before the saving grace of God, here's what he says about them. He says, "You were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Verse 13, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were afar off, been brought near by the blood of Christ." Verse 19, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." You know why hospitality is so important to being an ingredient to creating genuine love? Is because hospitality puts the redemptive love of God on display. Hospitality puts the gospel of Jesus Christ on display. That is, when you and I were far from the gospel, when we were strangers, when we didn't understand that we were sinners in need of a Savior, God came pursuing you and I, who were strangers from Him. He came and pursued us. He put people into our lives to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with us. And the moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we went from being strangers to now being children of God, part of His household. Therefore, hospitality is essential to creating a place of gospel community. Want to be a part of that? Well, I was weak as all get out. You all know I like more excitement than that, okay? Are you ready to be a part of that?
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to put the glory and the gospel of Jesus Christ on display? Yep. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're challenging you to believe and belong in genuine gospel community by either continuing, deepening, or taking a next step in it. Here's some ways that you can do this, okay? The first way is that obviously you can join some sort of group, all right, that we already have established. We have Sunday morning life groups that meet, that are already meeting here. There's several of them. There's actually going to be a sheet that you're going to be handing on your way out. There's also men's or women's life groups that meet throughout the week. There's men's and women's studies that are going on. We're also, I'm just going to be honest with you, we don't have enough life groups right now. So like an internal goal that we have this year, this goal is not on you, but this goal is we need to raise up at least 5 new small group leaders so that we can have 5 new small groups. Because we got people coming to the church, and it's hard to stick them into a group where there's already 10 people. And so we're trying to raise up new groups. We're also I hear you guys laughing. You got a mini church in your life group. I've already talked to you about that, and you're not following through. Okay, whatever, Darlene. All right. We want to encourage you for regeneration and re-engage. Those are already started, but if that's something you're like, you hear Doug and Aaron, you're like, yeah, I need to take that step. Lella, tell us. Let us know. We'll put you on a list as we raise up our next group. We'll contact you. But I'm also a realist, and some of you I know are sitting here is like, I'm not doing this group thing. I'm not doing it. It's uncomfortable, okay? I'm not doing it, okay? I'm not going to even ask you to raise your hand, those folks that would say that. But I'm a realist, okay? And my job is just to help you take a next step. And so for you, it just may be this. Just get connected with one other believer here at NBC and meet regularly. Just have coffee with them. And allow that time of getting together, just let Christ be at the center of that. Another way might be that you might find a mentor, someone who's just going to mentor you. Or someone who is going to disciple you. If you need help in finding that, to come talk to me. Or some of you here today need to become mentors and disciplers. You say, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. I wasn't perfect. Actually, you are perfect because nobody wants to hear from a perfect mentor, right? Does anybody here want to have a mentor that's perfect? No. You want somebody who's going to be real. Some of you here, I would encourage you to intentionally practice hospitality one time a month. I would just encourage you that maybe here at the service, you invite somebody out to lunch. Or this, I know this is going to be tough. invite them to your house. Now, I left my house this morning. We had an ironing board, and we had clothes all over our couch that are in the midst of somewhere from the laundry to folding to the, what do we call those things we put it in? Dressers, thank you. Now, we don't like that, but Elizabeth and I, we have made a commitment, all right? We've made a commitment. If we're led, somebody needs to come over to our house and bring it, we're going to be real. Yes, the pastor wears underwear, and so does the wife, okay? Come on in, all right? Sit down and fold you some while you're at it. Maybe for some of you, just serve and be on a ministry team. There is great community. Matter of fact, our guys who do safety around here, I think they actually have fun while they do safety in our church. All right? There's community that happens. Just start serving. Get connected there as well. Some of you need to go and you need to build a relationship with an unbeliever. Just go find your unbeliever. Hang out where they drink coffee. Get to know people. Just hang out and put the gospel on display. Folks, I believe God is calling us to genuine gospel community. He's calling us to go deeper in it because there is so much at stake when we live it out. And what's at stake is the display of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the glory of God. Let us pursue this community for His glory this year. Dear God, we thank You. We praise You, God. I thank You for the testimonies of Doug and Aaron. I thank You for the testimonies of many other people in here, Lord. This is not a message where we're not doing any of this. This is actually happening. People are showing hospitalities. People are being genuine in their love. People are devoted to loving one another. Lord, I just believe, and so does the elders and others, that we want to continue to build upon this. Because, Lord, we know what a powerful impact it makes on people's lives for us who believe and those who don't yet believe, God. So, Lord, I pray that You will help us to be committed to praying every day at 12:12 and being praying to, Lord, as well, what is that next step for us, God? And so, Lord, we pray that You will be glorified by it. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know You yet as their Savior, who aren't yet a part of the household of God, I pray the day might be the day where they realize that they're a sinner in need of salvation, and there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again. If they put their faith and trust, turn away from trusting anyone else or anything else, and put their faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, they will be justified, declared righteous, and be made part of the household of God. Lord, help them to come and talk to someone here that can share further that gospel, Lord. Lord, we praise You. And we thank You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,